This is the Quick Hits Podcast with the Missile.
Welcome in, Quick Hits Podcast. I am the Missile, Josh Kopelman, with you guys. Boy, it is great that college football is back. It is great. What a great weekend. College football, the fun games, and the NFL is back. So full football weekends plus the Monday night football game. Today on the podcast, at about the 10-minute mark, I will tell you all about the NFL weekend and what you can believe and what you can't. Because people just, my goodness, listening to radio on Wednesday, everything's just like, I mean, the Super Bowl might as well has already happened. We already know exactly what's going to be. Everyone's going to be good that won and everyone's going to be bad that lost. I'm going to explain why that's not the case coming up at the 10-minute mark. At the 20-minute mark, I give you some gambling tips. You're not going to hear it elsewhere. I know I say this every week, but it's also true. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to help you with total bets. Just think about it. There's something that happens in the first 2 weeks of the season that you can gain an edge on, hopefully, if you use it smartly. But first, I got to talk about OU and then OSU. I'm going to start with OU first because it's a conference game. OSU game might be bigger than the OU game. Even though, because Iowa State's a revenge game, but boy, Boise State has looked really, really good. But we're going to start with OU, taking on Iowa State. So at this point last year, when the Cyclones rolled into Norman, everyone knows what happened. Cyclones won. But what people are forgetting is that the Cyclones were on their third-string quarterback. They had been injured. They were just coming off a game against Texas, where they had scored 7 points. Does anyone remember that? Remember 7 points? They could barely move the ball against the Longhorns. Their quarterback had gotten hurt. Joel Lanning was playing linebacker. They had to bring in Kyle Kemp, who hadn't played before. And they looked atrocious against the Longhorns. In a 17-7 loss at home, they came into Norman as a 31-point dog and beat the Sooners with their third-string quarterback. And OU even jumped out to a lead. They were up like 14 at the half. The Sooners thought they had won it really early in the game. So what's happening this year? Now the Cyclones are coming off a game where they only scored 3 points. They couldn't move the ball at all in Iowa City. At all. Against the Hawkeyes of all the teams. Their quarterback got hurt. Now there's a chance he might play, but it looks like he's not going to. Now it's Tuesday. If you're listening to this Thursday or Friday, you probably already know what's happening. I don't. I can't see into the future. I'm sorry. I know you like to think I can, but I just can't. So I'm not making the case for the upset here, but I am going to say this is not going to be an easy game for OU. Even though it's against the Cyclones, they dominated the series. It's one of the most lopsided series ever in college football history. Last year, I mean, this has a lot of similarities. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying the upset's going to happen, but don't think OU is just going to walk right in there and win easily. They haven't played anyone tough yet. This is going to be their toughest test. UCLA stinks this year. Florida Atlantic isn't very good either. I'm not going to sit there and listen to everyone talk about, well, you know, they might have been pretty good. No, the non-conference schedule for OU was not very good. And Army next week is going to be that tough, but this is going to be a pretty good game. The Sooners go in there and they roll over Iowa State. It'll be pretty impressive. Now, if Iowa State puts up like 3 points and OU wins like 35-3, people are going to say, oh, Iowa State stinks, which will be true. But as of now, if OU wins, it looks like it'll be a pretty impressive W. So I'm not going to give you like keys to the game or breaking it down or anything else more than that. I'm just saying there's similarities to this game in Ames, and there's Norman. It's another 11 o'clock kick. I would say Ames is isn't the easiest place to play, but OU's had no problem there historically. I think they've won more games. I think Iowa State's won more games than Norman than they have in Ames in this series. So I'm just saying, be aware. If you like OU, make sure you get a 17-point spread. It's anywhere between 17 to 18 and a half as I talk right now. And if you like Iowa State, take the 18 and a half. But I am going to say, don't think this is going to be easy for the Sooners to just roll over and win. Because I don't think it is. The similarities are just too close. Now let's go to Oklahoma State.
I like Oklahoma State.
The Cowboys, they might be in some trouble against Boise State. And you don't need me to tell you this. You don't. I'm not just here just to rip on all the local schools. I'm just here to tell you what I think. Remember, and if you're one of those people that, oh, no, OSU's going to have no problems, then take off your OSU boxer shorts. Because you're the one, if you're sitting there wearing, like, all your OSU colors and your OSU shirt, and you're one of those people, you go to all the games, you don't miss any games, and you're sitting there talking about, oh, you just hate OSU. No, you're the one that's biased, not me. Same thing with all the OU fans, if you listen to when I was just talking about OU. Same thing. You just got to be unbiased. It's not going to be a walkthrough for the Sooners. And the Cowboys might be in trouble. And most Cowboy fans, the good, solid, sane Cowboys fans, the ones that were watch all the games, they go to them all, but they can sit there and be like, all right, maybe we're not the best team there is. Maybe there's some problems, or you can point out some problems with the team. You'll know this. And Oklahoma State's problem has been quarterback. Taylor Cornelius, he improved, but he hasn't looked better. And I've gone to in-depth on this podcast about what I think with the quarterback situation. It looks like I was wrong. I thought Drew Brown was going to end up taking the job from Taylor Cornelius, and it looks like Gundy's given Cornelius free reign as neither of the other two quarterbacks have played. And the problem with that is, I mean, you're not giving him any live game action. I know people are saying that, hey, you know, they want to, just in case Cornelius gets hurt or something, they want to still be able to redshirt him later in the year, Brown or Sanders, as I'm talking about. But, I mean, I don't think there's four games that Brown or Cornelius is going to play in. And to me, knowing that Cornelius played the whole game and then Wooty came in as the backup, to me, what that tells me is the coaching staff doesn't think that Drew Brown or Spencer Sanders is getting it done in the game. Or in practice, sorry. Isn't getting it done in practice.
We're talking about practice.
Well, the thing with practice is, you got to look good in practice or the coaches aren't going to play you in the games. Not everyone's already a superstar, Alan. So to me, that worries me if I'm an Oklahoma State fan. And why does it worry me? Because we've seen what Cornelius has done. I'm not, you know, I don't want to just rip on the kid, or I'm sure he's a good kid. I don't know him or anything. This isn't a personal thing. It's just what we're seeing on the field of play, and I don't think there's anyone that can sit there and argue that Cornelius has been anything but average at best. And he wasn't very good against Missouri State. He was a little better against South Alabama. I don't know, maybe he'll prove even more against Boise State, but that's a hell of a defense Boise State has. I mean, Boise State held Troy to 7 points. That should be a pretty good Troy offense. And they blanked UConn, if I'm not mistaken. I know UConn stinks. But still, I mean, they've dominated both the road wins. And one of the things you'll hear me talk about quite a bit is you can learn a couple things from the gimme games. I know I say all the time the games don't matter. But there's one important thing you can learn from. And it's more or less one thing that you can't, well, the one thing you can learn is if a team is awful, if they play bad teams close, they're probably not very good. But if they're beating bad teams by a lot, they're probably still a decent team. And there are teams that struggle, that beat bad teams fairly easily. It's happened before. Both OU and OSU have had teams that have done that, that have beaten bad teams and had mediocre seasons, beaten bad teams easily. But that's one of the things where you can see a team is tough, is that they're just blowing the other team out of the water when the other team isn't on their level, and that's what Boise State has done. That Boise State defense is going to be pretty tough. And I've said this all along, the Oklahoma State offense, the quarterback doesn't need to be good. I don't think they need a good quarterback to make the Big 12 title game. And I'll be, oh, you need a quarterback. This is a quarterback league. No, you don't. No, you don't. TCU made the title game with Kenny Hill at quarterback last year. And Kenny Hill was decent. But with the offensive firepower Oklahoma State has, you don't need that good of a quarterback. However, when you're playing this Boise State team who's not giving up much on defense and scoring a ton of offense, you need some pretty good quarterback play. So I'm just going to say, I'm a little nervous if I'm an Oklahoma State fan right now. And the other thing I want to see from Oklahoma State, if I'm a fan, I want to see the defense continue to play well. Boy, Calvin Bundage has been, and Jordan Brailford have just been so good at defense this year. And that defensive line has just been stepping up. The linebackers have been really good. I like what I see so far. And we're going to get a real test from Oklahoma State, from an offense, or a team that has offensive firepower in Boise State. That's going to be fun to watch, but I am a little nervous if I'm an Oklahoma State fan. Next, I tell you not to worry too much about the NFL. What takeaways you can have, what you can't. It's the Quick Hits Podcast. I am the Missile.
Here comes the shot.
It is the Quick Hits Podcast. Coming up next segment, I'm going to give you some more gambling tips. It kind of ties in a little bit to what I'm saying here, but it's something that you can have an edge-wise that'll happen early in the year and won't be available late in the year. That's at the 20-minute mark. I got to tell you about the NFL. People overreact too much, and I say this week in and week out because if you just base your opinions on what happened last week, it's going to make them worse. I'm going to start with a little bit of story time. So, get ready, gather around, put down what you're doing, stop your work if you're at work, if you're in your car, just turn up the radio, whatever you're doing, stop it, and just kind of think about this.
I've got to concentrate. I've got to concentrate.
So back in, because this is important, it'll make you a lot better when you're talking about the NFL. Back in 2015, I went out to Knoxville, Tennessee to see OU play the Tennessee Volunteers. It's a great game. This game has nothing to do with it. Drive back, I drove back on that Monday, and I'm listening to Titans radio, the Nashville radio. Frank Wycheck, the guy that caught the Music City Miracle, was on there in Nashville. So I'm listening to him, and that week, the Titans had beaten the Buccaneers. That was Mariota versus Winston, the first edition of it. If you remember that, the Titans just smoked the Buccaneers. They won like 49-7, something like that. The Texans had lost. The Colts had lost. The Jaguars had lost. Now, the Jaguars had been awful at that time. They'd been bad for a few years. The Texans weren't expected to be too good, but they were expected to compete for the division title with the Colts. Both teams lost. Well, you know what they were saying on the radio? They were saying that, oh, wow, I think the Titans can win the division. This could be the Titans' year. They could finally do it. This might be the turnaround. Mariota looks really good. They dominated. I don't see how anyone could beat them after that. And you know why they were saying that? It's because they were looking at one game, and they're like, that's what happened last week. That's going to happen every single week. And that's not the way it works. You know how many games the Titans won the rest of that year? Take a guess. Take a guess. I'm going to tell you in about 5 seconds. Take a guess. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. They won 3 games. 3 games. So the rest of the year, they won week one by like 42 points. And they won 2 more games the rest of the year. And people on the radio in week one in Nashville, Tennessee, national guys, were going on there and saying that the Titans were going to win the division. They were going to have a really good season. They could win double-digit games. And they ended up 3-13. By the way, the Texans won the division that year at 9-7. So it was a bad division. But the Titans were awful. And my point of that story is, and by the way, do you think anyone they called in at the end of the year, do you think that at all they might have mentioned, oh, we might have been wrong about the Titans. We might have been too high. Too high. Of course they didn't. Of course not. But I probably should have called in and told them, like, hey, you guys were wrong about the Titans. But whatever. That's not the point. The point is, if you just look at 1 week, you're going to look like an idiot if you're just making all your decisions based on that. Here's what happened in the NFL this week. Week one. Week one NFL. You're looking at, oh, the Steelers aren't very good. The Browns might actually be pretty good. They tied the Steelers. Maybe they're a good team. Well, if you dig into it, the Browns had 6 turnovers against the Steelers. And people look at that, oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah, it is good to get 6 turnovers. But when you're capping games in the future and you're trying to make predictions about how good a team's going to be in the future, turnovers tend to be luck. You should recover about 50% of all fumbles. That doesn't mean you should have... Now, you can have more fumbles than the other team and still be expected by forcing more fumbles, obviously. But there isn't... It'll be like, oh, well, you're trained to run to the ball. Yeah, every team is trained to do that. That is not a point in your favor. It goes up and down. So just kind of think about that when you're looking at the NFL, that the season isn't quite over. The Browns are going to be terrible again. The Saints, because they lost to the Buccaneers, doesn't mean they're going to have a bad season. or that the Buccaneers are really good. It's just one game. It's just one game. Saquon Barkley had a nice run against the Jaguars. He had a good game. He looks like he's going to be good, but just because you have one good game doesn't mean that it's going to continue the rest of the year. Same with Pat Mahomes. He's going to be the best quarterback ever. The Chiefs dominate. That's two wins against top 10 defenses for the Chiefs. I saw someone say something about that for Pat Mahomes since he's starting. He's 2-0. He was good. 15-27, 256 yards, 4 touchdowns. I'm not going to take away from that. That's a great performance. But you know what else had a great performance this year? And you'd say he's a really bad quarterback. I'm going to throw out a stat line. And I want you to kind of think about who is this quarterback that the Missile is talking about right here on the Quick Hits podcast. Are you ready for me to throw out a stat line for it? I should say a stat line for you. All right. This quarterback went 21-28, 417 yards, 4 touchdowns. That's a good day. That guy's going to be a good quarterback, right? He has to be someone pretty good. I'll give you another quarterback. 37-45, 439 yards, 3 touchdowns. That guy's pretty good. That was the same game. Quarterback one is a guy that's played for about 7 different teams. Ryan Fitzpatrick. You wouldn't trust him at all. You would say he's a bad quarterback. Quarterback two is Drew Brees. You'd say he's a good quarterback. My point with this is sometimes bad quarterbacks have good games. Sometimes good quarterbacks have good games. That happens a lot more often. Good quarterbacks also have bad games. But just because that happens in week one doesn't mean that it's going to keep on happening. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not going to still throw for 417 yards and 4 scores every week. No one would expect that. He's played for what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams. This is his 7th team. There's a reason why he's been had to go from team to team. It's because he's not all that good of a quarterback. So calm the talk on Pat Mahomes. He could still be a good quarterback. Don't be saying, oh, you just think Mahomes is going to be an awful quarterback then. No, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is let's calm it down a little bit. It's only 1 week. I mean, the Chargers defense might be really bad, or Mahomes might be really, really good. There's a possibility there. Also, it could just be a 1 week fluke like Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing for over 400 yards. I heard a guy today say on Jim's show, called in and said, well, Roethlisberger looks washed up. Dude, it's one game in the rain in Cleveland. Like, calm down with he's gone now. It just drives me crazy about how often people want to just declare everything right now is what's going to happen the rest of the year. That's what it is. I mean, the Bills, like, you look at this. There are some things you can take away. Like, the Bills are terrible. If they're going to start Nathan Peterman every single week, they're going to lose a lot of games. They're not necessarily going to lose 47-3 every week, but they will lose quite a bit. Boy, man, Nathan Peterman, 5 for 18 for 24 yards, 2 picks. My gosh, 7 interceptions and 2 starts. What a disaster the Bills are. Can you imagine that? So they traded away a quarterback earlier. It was Tyrod Taylor. They let Tyrod Taylor go. They traded him to Cleveland. However, they let him go to Cleveland. And look what they're stuck with. They want to sit there and complain about Tyrod Taylor. And they got Nathan Peterman starting. He went 5 for 18, 24 yards. And then Josh Allen, he's so bad. He wasn't even that good at Wyoming. He's so bad, they got to start Nathan Peterman over him. He goes 6 for 15, 74 yards. Yeah, he's a rookie. He could get better. So like I said, don't take away too much, but my goodness, the Bills are just awful. That's one of the worst teams in football. That division is so weak. The AFC East. Patriots are going to easily take that. Those teams are so bad. I know the Dolphins won week one. The other player that probably excelled more than he's going to all year is Adrian Peterson. I know all the Sooner fans love him. Oh no, AD's going to be great. He's going to be really, really good. 26 carries, 96 yards, a touchdown, 2 receptions, 70 yards. Yeah, that one big reception. Big win for Washington. Adrian Peterson looks like he's going to be the next star, but let me tell you a little something. 2016 season, end of the year, my team was out of the playoffs, my fantasy team, so I went ahead and picked up a player for a dollar. That was retired. Thought maybe he comes back. That player did come back. It was Marshawn Lynch. And he had a big game week one. And I think week two, he was still going well. So you know what I did? I traded him away. You know why? Because I didn't think that would keep up. So if you have Adrian Peterson on your fantasy team, that's my advice to you. Trade him away while his value is still high. I don't think that's continuing. So again, just take everything with a grain of salt. It's only been 1 week in the NFL. Next, giving you a gambling tip that could keep you ahead of the game when it comes to totals. This is the Quick Hits Podcast.
I got a good lock. Firing.
It is the Quick Hits Podcast. I am The Missile. You can follow me on Twitter at Latvian Missile. I'm going to give you a gambling tip that you're not going to hear elsewhere. Most people just say, oh, you know, take the points here or pick this team against the spread. No. I'm going to give you something that you can use, and you might have to do a little work. I'm sorry. I'm not doing everything for you. Just a little bit of work, but this will help you out a ton. And what I'm going to do is pace a play. What does pace of play affect? It affects the total, obviously. The more plays you run, the faster you run plays, the higher the score. Makes sense, right? Especially when you're a good team, you can beat up on bad teams, you run a lot more plays. When you're a bad team, you don't get to run as many plays because you don't have the ball as much, because you can't stop the other team, or you're getting stopped when you do have the ball. So one of the things you can take advantage of after 2 weeks of play is you can kind of look at who's playing a faster pace. Now, you have to adjust for schedule. That's true. You want to look at the opponents of the teams. But if you see a team that's jumped way faster, it is kind of likely that they're going to go down a little bit towards what their 2017 plays per game average was than their 2018. But it also, they could be at a faster pace. And sometimes the betting market, notice how I don't say Vegas, the betting market will not adjust for that. Because people look at what they were last year. Well, these are different teams. What affects the pace of play? And what affects it is, number one, the quarterback, the offensive coordinator. How fast does the team like to go? How fast does the quarterback throw? How accurate are they? You know, more receptions leads to a faster clock, and also leads to more plays because you're keeping the ball. Less receptions, less completions leads to a slower clock, but less possessions with the ball because you're losing it because you're not able to catch the ball, obviously. You're not able to get first downs. So that makes sense, right? And if it doesn't, it's just basically keep the ball in bounds, clock runs, you get to run more plays, you're getting first downs. The more first downs you get, the more plays you run, the more chances to score you have. So the key is, I'm going to give you some teams that have the teams that improved the most, that have run more plays in 2018 per game than they did in 2017. Now, keep in mind, it's only two games, and a lot of this could slow down. But this is also could signal a change of pace for these teams, and the totals could be different. You know, the game totals might be a little lower if these teams are faster, or a little higher if these teams are slower, and you can look at those for over-under bets. So I'm going to give you the top 10 of teams in pace of play. Number one is Tulane. They've averaged 27 more plays per game. It's pretty impressive. Number two is Nebraska. They played 92 plays. They had 92 plays against Colorado. That might be something you don't take as much into account just because Nebraska's only playing faster because they played Colorado. They played one game. And really, when you get two games, you can kind of see a little bit better. The more you have, the more accurate you'll be. Number three, Mississippi, averaging 16.6 more plays per game. This is something that's interesting. Mississippi was not as highly ranked. They were pretty fast for an SEC team, but they weren't as highly ranked in the plays per game before. So this is going to be interesting because I'm going to name another team. You'll see it. Mississippi plays Alabama this week, and Alabama is another team that's improved. They're not top 10. Alabama is actually 22nd in more plays per game this year. This is a point in play differential from this season to last season. So if you ran 90 plays so far this season per game and you ran 88 last year per game, then you're plus two. Alabama's ran 8 plays more per game. And the total on Bama and Mississippi looks like it's going to be pretty high. It looks like it's going to be around 71-ish. But again, these are two teams that are playing a lot faster. Alabama smoked everyone they played. Tua looks like he's a good quarterback, which that Bama offense is scary. So they're playing a faster game. And Ole Miss has been playing really fast as well. They've had big improvements. They're third in improvement on pace of play. Number Four is Oregon. Oregon's another team you can look at. Everyone thinks they're lightning quick. They might not have the edge there market-wise just because it's kind of, you're always looked at them as a fast team, but they weren't last year as fast. This year, they're running more plays. They'll have higher totals than they did last year. That team might not have an edge, but here's one that's kind of interesting. Oregon State, they're averaging about 86 plays per game, and Oregon State has gotten crushed against Ohio State in week one, if you remember that one. And then the Beavers smashed Southern Utah, who's a D2 school. But it's interesting to see. Usually you don't see bad teams way up there on the pace of play total. So Oregon State's might be a team you could take advantage of. Now, Nevada's gotten slower from last season. Nevada's minus 4.9. They're way at the bottom, so that might take away the edge you can get. But a team you might look at betting overs this year, especially even first half overs, is the Oregon State Beavers. Just because they're a bad team and you might get better odds on it. Microphone kind of floating away there, so sorry about that. I'll continue on. Duke is sixth in more plays per game run. They're up at 80 plays per game, which is probably a little above average. Average around 77, 78. You don't really think of Duke as that fast of a team, so that's something you could take advantage of, especially because they played Northwestern last week, and they're taking on Baylor. And remember, Baylor is isn't as fast-paced as they used to be, but it's still a game I expect Duke to win. It should be pretty close, should have a lot of possessions, and that's one you might look at as the over, is Duke-Baylor, especially a first-half over, might be a little better bet right there. Something to look at. Also, Houston is 7th in improved plays per game. Washington 8th, Temple 9th. Michigan State 10th. That's something you don't expect to see. Michigan State, they had a high-scoring game against Utah State. They're not really a fast team traditionally, and those are the teams that you want to take advantage of. A team like Michigan State, Washington, Oregon State, teams that people won't think play really fast, that have improved a lot this year, who could really keep up the pace of play. A team like Oregon isn't as much, you can't take advantage of much because they already have the image of playing fast. But Michigan State is a team that you're going to want to look at from here on out for first half overs, and they don't play this week, but first half overs and game total overs, you might wait till next week. That might be something to jump off. And the reason why I say first half, not second half, is because first of all, the second half totals don't come out till halftime. And if it's a blowout, it's less likely to go over on the second half. Teams tend to slow it down, just run out the clock if the game's not close. All right, so let's go to the flip side of the coin. And you want to look for teams that have the image of being fast, but really are playing a lot slower. And here's a good one at number 10, not the slowest in the country, but the 10th slowest in the country. It, as far as I've slowed down the 10th most plays per game this year, this team is doing 11 less plays per game. And that's the West Virginia Mountaineers. They're down to 64 plays a game. In the two games. Remember, they played Tennessee and they smoked them, so that might have hurt it a little bit. And then they played some FCS school. Smoked them as well. So they might end up playing a little faster against teams like North Carolina State. But that's also something you can look at, too. I'll get that in a minute. But West Virginia right now is a slower team than you think. Kansas is another one, but that you're not going to get any edge because people don't bet the over on Kansas because they can't score. Troy, part of that, they're probably down there. They're playing 16.5 less plays per game. Part of that's because they played Boise State, got smoked. Here's another one. There's two more on here that you're probably going to be able to make money on. There's three more, and I'll point them out. The Missouri Tigers, they were a really fast team last year. They averaged 16.5 less plays per game. They played Wyoming. Wyoming's generally a slower team, so that might have hurt them a little bit. But Missouri's a team that you might be able to take advantage of because their pace is slower this year, and they have the image of a fast team. Over-under in Missouri, Purdue about 65.5. Purdue has not really slowed down. They're about the same as they were last year. That's a game I might look to go over at, and I might look at the first half over again on that one. And if the game's close, then you can look at the second half over. It's a blowout. You might want to go second half under. But Purdue, again, that's a team I said earlier. They're a faster team when Blow is playing quarterback, David Blow, and he should be back in there. So that's what you want to look at. Texas Tech, they slowed down last year. They've slowed down even more this year. Part of that's because they got blown out by Mississippi. But the other part of that is that's what Cliff Kingsbury said he's going to do. And Tech has that tradition of being a team that's, hey, they're really, really fast. So the market overvalues them on the over. So that's another team you want to look under. They play Houston this week. We talked about Houston playing really fast. But that's a game, if that gets out of hand, it's going to go under. So that might be something you look at. Houston, Texas Tech. And Houston has the image of a fast team. Miami slowed down. The Miami Hurricanes, 17 less plays per game. That's something you'd expect. Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher's having the Aggies play a lot slower this year than he did last year. So that's another team you could get value on the under. And then the bottom three, just going to close it out. Middle Tennessee, Charlotte, North Texas are the ones that really slowed down. So that's what you want to look for, teams that have slowed down their pace, teams that have raised their pace, and you can bet over-unders based on that because the market isn't going to catch up to them for a couple more weeks. So take advantage of it while you still can between those games. And the other thing, one more quick tip, there's a hurricane that's going to be coming through the Carolinas, Virginia. West Virginia is going to get some rain. If it's raining heavy, bet the under. Bet the under, especially if it's really heavy rain. So be paying attention to that weather forecast. And if it looks like Saturday morning is going to be raining and the game's going to be played, I could look for an under in West Virginia, North Carolina State, just because it's hard to score in a hurricane. It's tough. So this has been the Quick Hits Podcast. Thanks for listening to it. I am The Missile. I'll have another one next week. Follow me on Twitter at Latvian Missile.
I want to hear the whole thing again.
You just hear it again. Just start at the beginning and hit play. This has been the Quick Hits Podcast. Thanks for listening.